No? No notes? Are you focused? Everybody focused on what's happening at Seoul? Yes, yes, good, 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 good. So Kids Soul's been in the third week now back, which is going awesome. So if you know anybody, Kids Soul age group, get them along. That's cool. Same with youth. You started back Wednesday night, went to Open Pools. How was that? If you know some youth that are excited to go to a youth event, then maybe bring them. Should we try again? Were we excited about youth? All right. Pray for the youth in Jesus' name. They need that. Now, you guys are awesome, but you're a little bit boring. You're supposed to be like the life of the church. Just saying us old people are supposed to be slowing down, but yeah, just a little challenge here. Throw that out. Right. Well, this is fun. Easter, who loves Easter? All right, so if you've been around Seoul for any length of time, you'll know that we do Easter bun giveaways, which is like an amazing time. So we give away so many Easter buns on Easter, the Thursday prior to Easter Friday, which is so good. We just take it out into the community, into businesses, just drop them off for people to get absolutely nothing in return from getting their Easter buns. Just show Jesus love, what Easter's all about, what he gave up for us. We can share that story. There's amazing conversations come through that, and it's just really, really cool way to bless our town. And so to make that happen, we need some awesome volunteers who go and hand that stuff out, because when I say lots of buns, I'm talking lots of buns. So we need to get in the streets, in the businesses all around the place and dish them out. So if you want to sign up to help do that, then I'm going to have a see who we talk to. I don't know. Steve Borkin and Brendan, they'll sort you out. But Tim's not actually here at the moment. He's having a week off. So, but yeah, hey, come see me. I'll put you in a group to hand out stuff. That's cool. Sheree, Stace, anybody. Anybody that looks like they love Easter buns, go see them. We look like this. Yep, good. Not you two. Right. The other way you can get involved in Easter is to help fund that. So if you want to donate or give some of your hard-earned cash towards blessing our town, then we encourage that as well if you want to. It's $2 or more, anything is appreciated. It just means we can bless more people. It'll all go to our town, I promise. We don't siphon it off for other things, I can promise you that. Small groups, who's involved in a small group? Yeah, small groups are awesome. If you want to know more about people in this church, get to know them better, then that's a cool place to go. It's a great place to be able to talk about all the other stuff you hear around here and dig into things a bit deeper. So if you want to get involved in one of them, you can see myself, Sheree, or Utah afterwards. At Utah at the back there, if you don't know who Utah is. He's going to be speaking soon, so you'll probably get to meet him, which would be cool. Just a little reminder, if your kids go to the movie room, which is through the back here, then that's for years 1 to 8 only. Just a little reminder there. Tyson, if you haven't met Tyson, this is Tyson. He's heading back to the States, and then we're hoping he's going to be back here quick as. But we're just going to get you up here, Tyson, and pray for you for that whole journey. So if you want to come up on stage, and if anybody wants to come up and just lay hands on Tyson and pray for his journey of going back to the States, getting back here as soon as he can, then come on up. Don't be shy. That'll be awesome. Lord, we just thank you so much for Tyson. Thank you for, Lord, just the way that you made him, the way that he's fitted into this community like he has, Lord. But, Father, he needs to go home and he needs to get some stuff sorted so he can come back. And so we just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for all those things to fall into place and for that to be able to happen quickly, Lord. And so, Father, we just place his situation in your hands, Lord, and everything that goes along with that, and just ask that you you go before him, Lord, and that your will be done. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we just thank you for who Tyson is. Thank you for who you're calling him to be. We just pray for the path that he's on, that nothing is wasted, that a trip back to America is just a reminder of why he wants to come back, Lord. We thank you for the relationships that he has here, that he's started and that he's going to continue to grow when he comes back. Lord, we just pray that he also treats this time as precious, Lord. Just time to reflect, time to see what's from here, Lord, what that looks like and what he really wants from his life. Thank you for all of this.
thank you so much, Father, that you you shared Tussin with us for this time. It's been epic. And Lord, naturally that means we want him back and we want him here. So Father, we know that you've got the perfect plan for his life and it's a good one. And we thank you so much that you've got massive plans ahead for him. And so Lord, we just ask that you just be that authority, that he's able to feel your peace and that he's able to feel your hope, and that we can be his village here at Seoul and praying for him for that journey as well. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for who Tussin is, and thank you that you brought him here. We just pray that you're with him as he heads back, Lord. You know what's going to happen, and you know the journey ahead, Lord. So we just pray your hand is all over that, Lord. And we just pray for Melody and Daniela, Lord, as they, as they are here waiting to see what happens, Lord. We pray that you are with them and that your peace is all over the whole family, Lord.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Awesome, as you can tell, I've got a bit of a croaky voice, which is like a man cold. But I decided I shouldn't have said that at the start because it's International Women's Day. How cool is that? So men, we're going to give all of the women, ladies, young ladies, girls in this room that we know we can't do without a massive clap. So men, let's clap the ladies because they deserve it. Happy International Ladies Day. And I have one more thing to tell you about, which is super exciting, because who's seen Sarah lately? She's been like pregnant, right? She's not pregnant anymore. Yay. So little Millie came to say hi last night. She's 8 pound 2, if that means anything to someone, maybe Raywin. But yeah, she's 8 pound 2 and doing well, and everybody's healthy and happy, and the kids got to meet her this afternoon, the other kids, that is. So their family is growing and everyone's doing well. So remember them in your prayers, and they will be back with us shortly with their new little addition, which is awesome. So can everybody just say hi, Utah? Yeah, so Utah's got a message for us tonight, and I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks, mate.
I got a stool, two hands, and now I just remembered when I use a stool, I still have to use this hand. That was dumb. Yeah, that was what I needed. I needed a mic. No, but I'm good. No, I'm just going to, no, I'm good. Oh, yeah, I could just use this mic. Nah, I won't do that because there's shiny things happening over there, which is a bald man shaking his head, which means I will stick to this one. Safe as. How's everyone doing? Good? Yeah, good enough. Is everyone warm? Yeah, I realise that question's hard to answer in a group as well. It's warm, should we turn the aircon on? That's good. There's some scared, frightened looks. Stacey wanted you to feel warm and comfortable at home. Yes. And the ones who said it was cold the other weeks were all women, but it's International Women's Day, so we wanted to warm it up so you don't leave. But we will cool it down, and we will just pretend like if you leave, it's because you feel convicted by this crazy message. So we are in our day one series, where we're going back to pretty much rehashing everything, pretending as if we were starting all over again, getting around to those questions that we haven't answered for however long your faith has been going or your journey with Jesus has been going. There's a whole lot of questions and things that we put on the back burner that we will sort out later. And we say, one day, one day, one day. Well, today's day one. We're starting all over again. And we had this really cool message last week from Tim, which we timed perfectly because now he will be away for a little while. And he was talking about, I don't know, right? He was talking about the times in our lives where we get to our complex situations and we say, I don't know what to do, I don't know what God says, I don't know where I should go, what I should be. And at the end of the day, we really do, because the Bible tells us to go back to basics. And he talked about cricket, and he talked about, you can think about all these crazy cricket theories, but it doesn't matter how professional you are at cricket, what they're telling themselves when they step up to bat is hit the center of the bat. keep your eye on the ball. All these complex things go out the window for the simple things. So when we talk to, when we come and the dramas that we have when we're 30, 40, 50 or older, sometimes we get lost in what to do and Jesus says, pray. We get anxious about things and we forget that the problem and how we're supposed to solve it is to cast all of our cares and worries on him. And often what happens is things like prayer, be honest, isn't a first response, it's a last resort. Yeah? Yeah? Not me, I'm perfect, I don't do that. But you guys, I'm glad that you guys all feel convicted about that. But so I'm going to follow this one up. I thought, so he was doing a message called I Don't Know, when really you do. I'm doing the other half of that, which is I know, when you might not. Okay? What happens is we can get to a place where you've been in a church before, nothing surprises you. Christian karaoke, also known as worship, doesn't feel strange at this point. Seeing people put their hands up is okay. But what happens is you get to the point where you know a whole lot of stuff, or at least you know what happens in church, or you know what's said in church, but you've never actually stopped to think about it, yeah? And like this isn't on the notes or anything. There's things that you see in your life all the time that you've never realized, like ABCD, the song, ABCD, yeah? Is the same melody as Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? Yeah, you've been singing that your whole life, and half of you didn't realize that. But that's what happens is you know, I know the song, whereas if someone was to hum it to you, half the room would say ABC, the other half would say Twinkle, Twinkle, okay? Same thing happens in church. We say we know these things when really no one's actually asked us the question, and if they did, we would panic on the spot and say random things. Okay, so I thought, and so what we need to do to dumb it all the way down to the simplest form, the Bible says test everything, right? It doesn't matter what or who, that seems confusing, but whoever says whatever, with a microphone or a church or a soapbox or a very loud voice with gravitas, whether Morgan Freeman says it or a child says it, okay? We test everything that is said against the word, right? And in Acts 17, 11, which I realize that I am controlling this from up here, so I can't rely on Ben. This is good. It says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Okay? If Paul said something to me, the Paul of the Bible, not any old random Paul, if Paul of the Bible said something to me, I would probably just eat that up, okay, and not check that whatsoever, because I'm just like, this is the dude. If there's any dude that's going to know what Jesus said, it's this dude. So I'm just, even these who were eager to hear the message from Paul, tested what Paul said was true. So even Paul, who's the dude who bunked with Jesus, okay, should we? Okay, so I was thinking about how to do this, how we can find these spaces, right? I do it a lot in pastoral care. It's fun for me, no one else. But generally, to find places you don't know, like the places where you don't know things, it's actually really scary because you may have to look like an idiot, okay? And one of the barriers to learning things, or one of the barriers to going back to day one, is pride. We don't want to look stupid. We don't want to start again. Who here has started golf in the last year? Yeah, fantastic. Okay. Who went out there and just crushed it? Yeah. Jacob Brogdon. See, and that's how I know he hasn't. Okay? Because everybody who goes out to play golf first is terrible. Right? Every single time. If you are too scared to be terrible, you will never be good. Okay, in the same way, if you are scared to look like a fool, you will never become wise. You have to start from scratch. If you're lucky, you get a bit of a momentum boost if somebody else is teaching you along the way without you knowing, like when parents secretly hide vegetables and food for kids to eat, right? That happens sometimes. Sometimes you're very lucky. But yeah, okay, it's going to be interactive. Lydia has the fear on her face, okay? She was red because she was overheating. Now she's just going to go white. I'm just going to ask and just know we're in a safe place. It's not going to go out of these four walls if you get any of these questions wrong, okay? Just going to be honest. Across the board, there are a lot of different ages that look very worried, okay? There are teenagers, and then I just heard Murray, who's playing bass on the worship team, go, oh dear, all right? In England, they tried to, in one school in England, they tried to ban God from all schools, and one of the parents on the board said, there is no way you can do that because as soon as we get to exam season, prayer goes through the roof, right? Every kid is praying like, dear Jesus, if you love me, erase the whole exam, make it blank. But so we're going to play, right? Bible or not? You can play, yes. Yeah, the fun part is you might be better. So I'm going to ask questions, okay? And then don't you hide the shame. Don't you hide that shame. You turn it up. I'm going to ask if it's in the Bible or not, okay? Okay? I'm not going to make you stand up for the first ones, okay? But know that it may be coming, all right? Nice and easy. We did this over Christmas, okay? There were three wise men. Put your hand up if you think that is in the Bible. In the whole Bible. Now I'm questioning what you're asking. Yep, okay. Remember, safe space. Okay, we're not judging everyone. Okay. Oh, we're 50-50 split. Yeah. Okay, the answer is we are not in the Bible. There was not three wise men in the Bible. Okay? If you were here at Christmas Eve, we gave you that hint, okay? But because we test everything, straight to the word, okay? Matthew 2, verse 7 says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out, yeah, see, some people are scared now, eh? They thought this was going to be easy. The ones who are confident, don't you do it. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. No mention of a number, right? Then Matthew 2, verse 11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So it mentions in there three gifts. It doesn't mention three people. And from that, we get cool songs like We Three Kings of Orient Are, right? But again, we don't know if three guys got paid that week, four broke as, okay? All right? Four tried to get a farmer's card, didn't work, okay? It just says three gifts. It doesn't specify how many people. They could have gone in together. And if they were wise men, maybe they did. Okay? Yeah. And so we're saying this just because if you want to get Tim and Sarah a gift, we'll pool our money together. Okay? Okay, so this is the level we're at, okay? Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Bible or not? Put your hand up if you think this is in the Bible. It's okay, there's no shame attached to the Bible. Okay, there's a lot of people abstaining. Okay, that's pride. Okay, Jonah was not swallowed by a whale. This was not in the Bible, right? And for those of you that are confused, it's because in Jonah 1:17 it said, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Okay? Big fish, right? Most of the guys in here have caught a big fish that apparently could swallow Jonah. All right? We don't know what kind of fish it was. It just says big fish. And we don't take that leap to say that it's a whale. Okay? But it's a lot easier to say whale and draw it in a kid's book than it is to draw big fish. Okay? That's okay. Yeah, all my fish look like sharks anyway. Okay, getting trickier. Jesus was not an only child. Is this in the Bible or not? Okay, ready? Jesus was not an only child. Put your hand up if you think this is in the Bible. Man, there is some scared and panic, I'll tell you. Don't you do it. Don't you do it, Brendan. You show them. Put your hand up if you don't think it's in the Bible. Yeah, see, there's a lot of fear. Tyson, my man, look at that. See? No fear. He's wrong, right? But it's the fear, okay? This was actually in the Bible. Why? Because we're all sons and daughters. No, I was just joking. No. But that would be, yeah. Yeah. Think how hurt I felt when it said, we're all children of God, but he's only got one son. And I was like, that makes me a daughter. It's very confusing. Matthew 13, 55, 56, named Mary, and his aunt, his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. Old snap. Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Okay, so Jesus was conceived while Mary was a virgin. But Mary didn't stay a virgin for the rest of her life. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Carrying on, okay? Nice and easy. Money is the root of all evil. Is this in the Bible or not? Put your hand up if you think it's in the Bible, that money is the root of all evil. That very cute kid over there also says it's in there. Yeah, this is a beautiful ginger hair. There we go. Oh, splitting. Here we go. Put your hand up, because I'm trying to get everyone involved here, if it's not in the Bible. Well, there's lots of hands going up. It is not in the Bible. Money is not the root of all evil. Right? Does anyone know what it says? The love, that's right. The love is the root of all evil. That's right. No, it says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's why you don't get piercings. Okay, next one. Right? God works. Just if you're waiting for the message to start, this is it. Okay, this is what we are doing today. We are just dislodging what we think we know. One of the things, in this old kung fu movie, right, there was this kid who learned heaps of kung fu from movies. It was actually called Forbidden Kingdom. It's a good movie. Had Jet Li in it. He played two people. And he learned all this kung fu movies, and then he got transported into this magical world of kung fu, and he wanted to learn all these moves that he's seen in the movies. And his teacher was filling up his cup, and he was like, am I going to learn this? Am I going to learn this? And he kept pouring the cup till it overflowed and burnt his hands. And he said, how can you fill a cup that's already full? How do you fill a cup that's already full? If we continue to move through life thinking our cup is full, then what is Jesus going to be able to give us if we can't fit it? We need to scrap everything that we know as much as we can and fill up fresh. That's what we're doing. That's all we're doing, beating ourselves down so we realize we don't know a lot. Cool? And we're humbling all of ourselves, okay? I have all the answers because I cheated and made the test, okay? God works in mysterious ways. Put your hand up if you think this is in the Bible. Oh, yeah, see, we're thinking. He's put a lot of not Bibles in there. It must be time for a Bible one. Is that what some of you are thinking? Must be time. It's not. There's a confident it's not. That's right. It is not in the Bible. Oh, snap. Instagram was wrong. Yo. It's crazy. When you put it over a waterfall, it seems legit, okay? If you put it in that cool font, right? Isaiah 55 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Which I would have shown you if this wasn't such a mystery to work, right? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. It is not a mystery how he works, because he tells you over about 3,000 pages. It's a mystery to me because I'm an idiot, okay? But it does not say that he works in crazy, mysterious ways. It says that he works all things to the good, right? But he is well aware of everything. Nothing is a surprise, a mistake, an accident from his end. It's a mystery to me because I don't study him. Same thing with my wife. All the things that she does could be a mystery to me if I didn't know my wife as well as I do. The longer I'm with her, which was 13 years this week, married, yes. The longer I know her, the less mysterious her ways are, right? Which also means I'm more responsible for my actions because I should have learned that 13 years ago, okay? We'll talk about that another day. Good. When God closes a door, he opens a window. Yes. Now we're all not feeling sure. Some of us are like, this sounds like a movie quote, but maybe he put that in there to throw us. Maybe I did. Which version? Yeah, I feel like that was going to be a Balkan question. Like, what if I write my own Bible? And that's in that one, yeah? Fooled ya. Okay, put your hand up if you think this is in the Bible. Brendan, you're too nice. All right, put your hand up if you don't think it's in the Bible. Put your hand up if you refuse to answer. Okay. Okay, the answer is, it is, no, it's not. Okay, it's not in the Bible. Okay? When God closes a door, he opens a window. Initially, I thought, did they even close windows? Right, it's hot. Maybe they just left them open all the time. Right? Yeah, did they have windows? I know they had doors. But then Ben was talking earlier today, and he said, you could just reopen the door. That's kind of how doors work. So if Jesus shut a door, he could probably just open it. There's no need to open a window, but that makes too much sense. But again, we test everything against Scripture. Okay, so Daniel 3 says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them was hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King... I realize now. My wife made a sign that said, you haven't pushed the button. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Okay, prime example, God closing a door, okay, not opening a window. Okay, do you understand? Furnace had a door, definitely closed, no windows were opened, okay? That is biblical testimony to say he doesn't always do that, all right? And there was a window because they looked in there, but Jesus didn't open it, okay? He's rather going to hang out with you. Some of these things, they feel like benign teachings and stuff like that, but what happens is if we sell that to people, if we sell that God opens a window whenever he closes a door, then the minute someone's in a hopeless situation that doesn't end with a good ending, that was a bad God. But this, especially in this case, they say, will God save them? And they say, even if he doesn't, I'm getting in the fire. So this was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, when God closes a door, I'm just going to trust he doesn't want it open. And I'm going to follow wherever that leads. I'm not going to be looking for him. God meets him there. Happy ending. Yeah, they come out of that. That's pretty cool. But yeah, besides the point. Here's one that sounds real helpful. God helps those who help themselves. Tyson's like, these are all in there, man. Put your hand up if you think this is in the Bible. See? He's unfazed. Yeah, look, see? Dion's jumping in with you. He's in that furnace with you, man. Who also would like to abstain from this question? Lydia moves so fast. It is not in the Bible. Okay. What's that? This is good. Okay, what does it say in the Bible? It says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us long before we could help ourselves. He helped us. Right? He doesn't even wait for us to ask for help. He helps us and just hangs out there, waiting for us to say yes, waiting for our whole lives. Right? This is saying things like, you don't have to do something for Jesus to bless you. That's on Jesus, and Jesus blesses people, right? It's not a works-based, he'll do this if you do that. Normally, if I do this, he probably doesn't do the thing that I want him to do, and he does the thing that I need to do, and I should do, and he says it in a loving way. Okay? Deep? I'm going to pull up, okay? Okay, Eve ate the first apple. International Women's Day, here we go. Okay, Eve ate the apple first, right? Put your hand up if you think this is in the Bible. Good. Put your hand up if this is not in the Bible. Oh, we're a bit split. Just checking. International Women's Day started here, okay? Eve ate the apple first. Is not in the Bible. Yes, there are some shocked looks. That's because the pride for the ladies, some of them, got hooked on the first bit. They're like, if there's any chance we weren't first, we're going to take this, okay? Oh, we'll jump on it, right? Right? But the trick is here, not in the word first. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. They gave some to her husband, yep, who was with her, and he ate it. Okay, the key word here is fruit. Yeah. Not if you're reading your Bible. Eve, okay, right? Eve did not eat an apple, she ate a fruit, okay? That fruit could have been lemon, all right? That fruit could have been a tomato, which we will talk about another time, okay? We will talk about that another time. Right? But the key word here is fruit. We don't know what it looks like, but in depiction, early depictions of what we thought the tree looked like, people put in pomegranate, and then someone subbed in apple, because nobody eats pomegranates half the time, except for that palm juice that you see in I Love Palm. Yeah, apparently good. Apparently doesn't give you immortality, but whatever, okay? But that was one of the things. And actually, in the ancient world, pomegranates were actually associated with being immortal, but it was never an apple. We don't know what it was. Could have been, weirdly enough, a banana. But that isn't entered into the imagination, because once we get a picture, it's kind of hard to shake, right? And so the lesson here is that I stay away from all fruits because they may bring sin into my body, okay? This way we stay safe. Also, just a side note, because it is International Women's Day, I will throw you a bone. Eve, right, wasn't there when God told them not to eat from the tree. Just as a heads up, he told Adam, then he created Eve. So she heard it secondhand through Adam. Okay? That's bone number one. Bone number two is Eve got tricked by Satan. Adam got tricked by Eve. Okay? One's more understandable. Eve was probably in the more understandable position. Okay? She didn't hear it directly from God, and she got tricked by the trickster, the deceiver. Okay? Like, that's his whole name. Adam got tricked by his wife, okay? Because he was weak, okay? Yeah. Yeah. He the first time, yes. First time he didn't communicate. Yes, this is not the last time that a husband didn't communicate what he was told to his wife, okay? Maybe she didn't. It doesn't say that, but sometimes we should read between the lines, okay? Weirdly enough, side theological quest, if you ever want to go down it, also not kicked out of the garden because they ate the fruit. Weirdly enough. Actually, it says that we were kicked out of the garden before we ate the second fruit, which was the fruit of life, which means that we would have eaten from the knowledge of good and evil, the tree from the fruit of life, then had the knowledge of good and evil, and then had to live with that knowledge for the rest of our lives, which would have been eternity. But God, in his lovingness, says, I don't want you to live with that consequence for the rest of your life, which is rest of eternity. I will take you from the garden so you never eat from that. Weird, right? That's another thing. Some would say a mystery. Some would say a mystery there. Everything happens for a reason. This is a big one for me. There are just some people that just flat out want to say no, for sure, because it feels like the safe answer. Maybe that's how I rigged this. Okay, take a second. Just remember Jesus is watching, okay? He's always watching. Yeah. But the question is it in there? Yeah, in that order. Yeah, not in that font, but in that order. 100. Not on this cool presentation that I made on Canva, but in the Word. Okay, ready? Put your hand up if you think this is in the Bible. Ooh. Put your hand up if you don't think it's in the Bible. Ooh. The Steve Walken version. Side one, side pot. Put your hand up if you think it's true. Oh, that got hurtful. Oh, P-Mac is confused. Tyson, never confused. Okay, so this is not in the Bible, okay? Yes, that's right, and that is the difference. Everything happens for a reason. One of the reasons is you're an idiot, okay? There's lots of things that have happened in my life that happened for the reason, and the reason was I was stupid and did the stupid thing, right? But how we use this in common conversation is we say things like, if we miss out on a house or we miss out on dating someone because we never asked them, and we go, oh, everything happens for a reason. Yeah, the reason was you were too scared to talk to a girl, okay? That was the reason. This wasn't a divine intervention from God. This was a stupid intervention from you, okay? And so heaps of the time when we sell it, we're saying it over things that we had a part to play in and we chose not to. And so sometimes the reason things happen is because of us, not because God didn't want us to do it. He will be patient and he will wait with us and he will lead us if we let him, but he will also back off if we don't let him. And so sometimes the reason isn't God. But yes, everything does happen for a reason, as P-Mac said. But again, we take it to the Word. What does the Word say about us being stupid? It says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Okay? Spitting facts. Okay? I will do a dumb thing not once, not twice, not thrice, multiple times until somebody else points it out. Okay? Or I get in trouble, something. Right? We all do it. It's in there. It's in the Word. Right? We just do things that are sometimes natural, that we fall into a pattern, and we carry on doing it. Sometimes that's the reason. Cool? Here's a big one. God never gives you more than you can handle. Oh. Now, this one has a little bit more sauce on it because you have said it to someone. Okay? All right. So now we're starting to replay conversations where we've said this to someone and panicking slightly, okay? And that's okay. That's what we're safe space. It's not going to go outside of these four walls unless you count the podcast, which is up on the Soul website. which is screened all over the world. Okay. Is this in the Bible? Put your hand up. What's it? Word for word. Yep. Yep. In the beginning there was the word. That's in the Bible. Put your hand up if you think this is in the Bible. No shame. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing together. Nosotros. It's Spanish for together. Or is it? I don't know. Test it. Okay? Who thinks this is not in the Bible? There's a lot of youth that are very confident because they can't handle a lot. All right? Put your hand up if you abstain from answering the question. No shame. Safe. It's good if the whole family picks a different option and then someone's always right. All right? This is not in the Bible. This is not in the Bible. There are a lot of things we get that we can't handle, especially not alone. Yeah? And in Matthew 14:10, it says that very clearly. It says, and had John beheaded in the prison. Okay? Couldn't handle that. John died. Okay? What was given to John was a mission that ended with his head on a plate. Okay? What we're saying, right, is there are plenty of things where the end of that story is something that you couldn't handle. Jesus died on a cross, and he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Whatever he does is the answer. His body couldn't handle the rest of the cross, but that was the plan. So depending on what context you're talking about, handling things, I tell you, I can handle having five kids. Legally, you can't handle kids at all, okay? But what handling looks like for a parent is losing your mind, right? Slowly or quickly over time, snapping at the randomest moments. But when we get to the end and people see our kids, they go, man, you guys did an amazing job. It's like, wow, you look like you handled it really well. Take Caleb is what Murray said to every parent ever that he passed. Please, just take him. Just take him. You will do a better job, right? God never gives you more than you can handle. God will give you continuously for the rest of your life more things that you cannot handle without him. The exception is without him. Dion and Stacey could not handle Soul without him. 100%. Some of us aren't handling this quiz very well without him, okay? And that's okay. The thing is, when we sell this to people, normally we're talking to people who are struggling really, 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 really hard. You say, it's okay. God never gives you more than you can handle. It's like, wow, that was not the message that I was getting, because I was very much breaking on the inside. And people have broken. And to say things like that sometimes is insensitive. We can say things like, man, that is real tough. I can see why you're not handling it very well. Is there anything I can help you with? Or we invite Jesus into that space. We sung a song called I Speak Jesus, which is 100% talking about that. It's talking about, I can't handle this, so I speak Jesus into this place because I am not enough. It says in the word that he is made perfect in our weakness. Weakness, which means there are inbuilt things. Paul talks about, weirdly enough, he says, there is a thorn in my side. He talks about a weakness that he has in his spirit, in his personality, in his character. He says, there is a thorn in my side, and I asked him to take it away from me 3 times, and he said no. That he just has to live with that weakness for the rest of his life. But because in that weakness, whenever he's in that weak space, he leans on Jesus, then Jesus is glorified because he makes up for that weakness. Dion's talked 100 times about how much he couldn't speak. He couldn't public speak. He couldn't speak on a phone. He was dyslexic, but at the same time, that weakness is made up for by the character of Jesus. And when that happens, people are like, that dude couldn't speak. That must be Jesus. Whenever you get into a position where your weakness is blinding, then his glory shines through. That's the deal. The terrible part is you have to suck at something. That's not cool. That hurts on the inside. But then he's like, I'll cover it. And I'm like, can we just skip to the bit where everyone thinks I'm awesome? Like, nah. Everyone kind of has to know that you're weak, and then I'll fill the gap. And that's, yeah. So just, if there's one verse, short memory verses. Here's the last one, okay? You made it. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Put your hand up if you think that's in the Bible. Come on, Tyson. Where are you? Tyson. Put your hand up, Tyson. Don't make me shame you. Who thinks it's not in the Bible? Tyson put his hand up. Yes, for not in the Bible. He was wrong. It was in the Bible, okay? Tyson, one time I throw you a bone. It's actually in the Bible of Disney. It's actually in the Cinderella 2 movie. It's not actually in the Bible that I read about Jesus in. But Tyson, I was trying to save you because I knew there was going to be one. And I was like, this will be the one. Cinderella 2, I think, is a terrible movie. So don't watch it. But it's Disney. What does it say about the heart? It says in the Bible, crazy, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? That sounds super duper harsh, but it's super duper true. Our heart wants things that we shouldn't want. There was a pastor who was talking to a doctor, and he said, if my body craves something, can I just have that? Will my body be good enough to just know what it needs, what it craves, and what is good for me, and I'll just go lean towards those things? And the doctor said, if you are in perfect health, if you are in perfect health, not good health, not Steve Borken health, perfect health, right? If you are in perfect health, your body may be in sync with the things that it needs and will crave those things and only those things. But the more corrupted your body is, the more it leans towards and craves things that is not good for it. It craves the thing that brings it the most happiness, like sugar, like alcohol, right? Different things our body craves because we've taught it to. And so we, the same way, our heart does the same things. It leans towards things that will make us feel good, even if it's only for a moment. Whose heart draws them to the gym? But the gym is good for us, apparently, from what I've heard in books. Right? But my heart doesn't race to those places. It needs to be trained, and the head analyzes that it's good for me. My heart is just this cool passenger, hopefully, this child that gets hurt and gets happy sometimes, right? We can't trust our heart. Our heart would lean towards things that feel good for the moment and also push away from the things that feel hurtful for a moment. Who's ever gone to a physio and hated that person? That's right, right? I'm not pointing any fingers. Not after they break yours, but they're good for us. And if we only did the things that were pleasurable, not painful, then we may not go to those places to heal. And sometimes in your life there are things that need to be healed, fixed, and sometimes we'll just wait for the pain to stop and carry on with the rest of our lives. But just because it stops hurting doesn't mean it's fixed, right? We need to lean into those things that maybe hurt us for a moment but heal us for a lifetime. Cool. So congratulations. You can give yourselves a clap. All right. Who feels sufficiently bad about themselves now? Yep. Fantastic. Oh, some more? We got some more? We need some more to make you feel worse? No, I don't have any more. sometimes we feel like we know things when we might not. But if you don't get challenged, you'll never know what those are. At the same time, when it comes to testing things, if this, in the same way that anything you believe, if it isn't tested, is not safe for you and the people that you carry with you. Whenever I have changed different seasons of my life, I've reevaluated whether I believe in Jesus the same and everything is still true. When I moved from school in Auckland down to a sales rep job here, I reevaluated, retested. When I came from there to be a pastor here, I retested again. And it's brutal. Is it true? Because at that point, you're not talking about your belief systems, you're not only talking about yours. You're talking about everybody in your house being under the influence of what you believe, good or bad. So why is all this important? You need to know who he is. Whether you like him or not, you need to know who he is. If the picture you have of Jesus was just handed down to you from your parents or from a friend, you don't know if it's accurate. And sometimes, if your parents, you didn't understand them or they were terrible parents, I'm sorry for that. That has nothing to do with me. But if the picture that you have from your parents is that God is a terrible person and you throw away a relationship with Jesus based on an inaccurate representation of who he is, then you're not saying no to Jesus, you're saying no to a terrible picture that may not have been true. In the same way, don't keep it. If you have been a Christian forever and you haven't reevaluated what your picture of Jesus looks like against the word, don't keep it. Test it. Is the Jesus I... There are parts of the Old Testament that heaps of people here who have been seasoned Christians stay away from. There are a lot of Christians that stay away from Revelation altogether because that God is scary. Right? But all those places that you don't look are landmines waiting to catch you out one day. You'd rather go and blow them up yourself before you take anyone with you. There is a possibility. The Bible is scary, but it's exciting. There is a possibility there's unicorns in there. Right? AI was mentioned. No, I don't know. I'm just trying to stir controversy, so you go check it yourself. Right? Someone's Googling unicorns, Tyson. But it's the same as if I made you a cake, you tasted it, and you were like, oh my gosh, I hate cakes. I will never eat another cake for the rest of my life. That was a terrible cake made by me. If Cherie made a cake, you might say, I'm only ever going to eat cakes for the rest of my life. But depending on who gave you the cake determines whether you swear off cakes or not. Don't do that with Jesus. If somebody were to judge your character, who you are, based on somebody else's testimony, I'm going to be honest, it's probably not going to be great. Or at least it's not going to be accurate. Some things I'm like, man, that person painted me in a really good light. That's really not me. And if somebody rejects you because of an accurate representation, that is okay. That's where you want to be. You just don't want them to fall in love with a lie. Cool? So, that's what tonight was all about. If you think you know Jesus, maybe wonder whether you do or not. And go and check. If you think he's cruel, he might not be. If you think he's not, maybe he is. The only way you're going to know is if you read the book, right? Not just watch the movie. The book is always better, okay? So I'm going to pray for you guys. We're going to go eat somebody else's cake, right? And we're going to have a weekend and a lifetime pushing into finding out who God is and accepting him for that. Cool? Lord, we just come before you, not the idealized version, not the romanticized version, not the long flowing locks with the Photoshop face, Lord. Lord, we just ask that every image, every thought, and every idea that we have of you is run through the filter of the Word, through the Bible. Help us to know who you are, not just who we've heard that you are from random people with microphones, Lord. Please reveal yourself through your Word to us and help us to filter out all the noise. We thank you for who you are, how much you love us from what we've heard tonight. We thank you that you are clear, and you may be a mystery to us, but we thank you that you're not a mystery unto yourself. We thank you for the brand new McIver that we have. Sorry, that was just in my mind, and I love that, kid. We thank you for the blessing it is to have a congregation that's growing. And we thank you for this place and International Women's Day in Econ. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, go eat something.